football tonight. Miami Dolphins, after a very interesting, draining, exhausting, intense week after the Tyreek Hill arrest, and Calais Campbell being put in handcuffs, Jonnu Smith, we forget, it wasn't just Tyreek. I mean, he was the main thing, and he gets handcuffed, he gets thrown to the ground, but the other two guys were involved too.
They've already played a game since then.
I know, but that's had to be like a fog. You know, we talked about, is that like Scottie Scheffler when he had his run in with the police and gets taken down to the station and he gets, you know, in the orange jumpsuit and mugshot. He actually shot well that day. It was the next day after when it kind of all set in.
I mean, these players to me seem like they can compartmentalize in a way that I probably couldn't.
Welcome to the show, by the way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So glad to be with you. We want to get the thoughts of somebody who's been on the inside, and that is our pal Andrew Brand. He's the executive director of the Morad Center at Villanova. Of course, business of sports and former executive with the Green Bay Packers. He's a former player agent. Andrew, thanks so much for the time. Good morning. This morning, how are you?
Hey, Maggie. Hey, Andrew. Always good to be with you. I was listening about Tyreek. You know, it really dawned in my mind. I probably speak differently than everyone else. When I saw that, I'm thinking, okay, what's the team doing? What's the agent doing? What is the security doing? What is Tyreek's team doing about this? So when those things happen, I've been on both sides of that. There's a lot of stakeholders at play here, and everybody's got to get on the same page. So I would imagine Drew Brooks from Miami Security, Drew Rosenhaus, the agent, and the team management are all devising what's going to happen now, because this was as they're getting ready for the game. So this upset a lot of things that they're normally doing anyway.
Andrew, I was saying to Maggie, I found it interesting when he was arrested, he said call Drew Rosenhaus, the agent. There was no call the Dolphins, even though he was in the shadow of the building and come out and help. Is that typical if a player has an issue? I know you've been on both sides of this, to call the agent before the team?
Not really, unless he's there, and Drew was there, and he was, what, a mile away or so. I think if you have that situation where you know someone's, you know, right there, sure. But usually in those situations, when I was at the Packers, we'd hear from team security. We had three guys, and they would be called, or they would know from law enforcement. Now, Green Bay is tiny compared to Fort Lauderdale, Miami, so we sort of had a hold on everything going around there. We knew all the cops. That's how small it was. So it was a little different.
Andrew Brand is joining us. Andrew, sorry, just to follow up on something. You said there's just like a lot of stakeholders, right? Like a lot of people. It's not just Tyreek Hill and Calais Campbell and Jonnu Smith who went through that. A lot of stakeholders. Right. Is that like in a galvanizing way? Like everyone pulls together tighter? Or is that in like there's a lot of tension type of way?
No, you try to get them all together, because what's going to happen is, it's, as we know, gets very public and it gets very covered on the media. So everybody's got to know who's saying what, who's going to be the one saying it, and how's it going to react. Because in normal situations, if this was a Tuesday, a Thursday, it wouldn't be that dramatic. But of course, we know it was right before the game. So in my situation, working as the vice president of the Packers, when we had an issue with a player, my first call was the agent. Okay, what's going on? What's your view of this? What are we going to say? Who's going to say it? And are we on the same page with what's coming out? So getting everyone on the same page.
Yeah.
I mean, have the Dolphins done that? I feel like that team's had a lot of turmoil. I'm thinking of like some of the Stephen Ross stuff. I don't really do you think the Dolphins have done that so far? What's your sense of how they're handling this?
Yeah, I saw the statement, Andrew. I thought it was very, very empathetic and pro-Tyreek, which I get it. You're going to support your player, especially a star player like that. You know my saying, greater talent, greater tolerance. But when I read it, I'm like, oh, okay, because the police union, the local police, they got to deal with them on a regular basis. They're a stakeholder. So I wondered when I read that Dolphin statement, like, oh, okay, you're going to be on one side of this, and I get it. You have to pick a side. That's probably the side you pick. But it just seemed to me like, okay, now someone in that office is doing some back channel trying to soften the blow with the police union.
Do you expect the NFL to make a statement on this situation?
It's a good question. I think this might be more of a team aspect than a league aspect. So I would expect this to be handled internally with the Dolphins and not the NFL.
Andrew Brandt joining us, former VP with the Packers, now Villanova, doing sports business, and he's the very best, and we appreciate it. And appreciate you coming on, Andrew, because we wanted to ask you about Deshaun Watson. So obviously the latest is the new allegations of sexual assault. It's a civil matter, not criminal, but yet a lot of details, at least from the accuser's side, that are very unsavory. Now, Deshaun has strongly denied the allegations through his lawyer. Listen, take us through this on the team side, because there's contractual stuff here. There's more than that. What are the Browns dealing with right now?
Yeah, a lot to unpack here. Let me try to do it. First of all, I say it again. I say it every time. The fact that this player, got the strongest contract in the history of the sport still amazes me, because as soon as he got the contract, he promptly served an 11-game suspension. We know all about that. Having said that, Maggie, I'm going to use the word curious. I'm not going to cast any aspersions, but it's curious this report is coming out now and that a 4-year-old charge is being filed the day after he plays a bad game against the Cowboys. It's just, to me, it's like, wait, what's going on here? This was 4 years ago. The other thing about it is I know this is a date and this is not a quote unquote massage. I get it. But to me, Maggie, this is exactly the same behavior we read about in 2021 and 2022 that got him the suspension. Everything we're hearing about is like, yeah, I remember reading about that in New York Times and Jenny Brenters and all these people that said he did the exact same thing he did with this woman. My point in that is the Browns knew all that and, of course, signed him to this massive contract. And I get it. This is a date. This is not a massage. So maybe there's some differences. But like I said, my antenna go up with this report. And I've said it. And I'll say it again, it's the most unchangeable contract in the NFL because it's a rock-solid guarantee. There are no contingencies. You don't have to be on the roster to get the guarantee. It's guaranteed at signing, as the language goes. So everyone is asking, could they get out? Well, yeah. I mean, it would have to be a personal conduct violation. He's denying everything. It would have to be failure to disclose something. He's denying everything. I know there are people who want him out of that contract or have the ability to get out, but to me, that's a long road. That's a long road.
Andrew, do you think there's any chance, especially because he's not playing well, that the Browns would just take this massive salary cap hit and release him? Because I don't think they can trade him. But in the coming years, the $72 million and 25 and 26 possibly, is there any chance they just throw up their hands and say enough?
Well, there's two parts to this. Unlike every other player, there's cap, which is extraordinary, which is because what they've done is they've pushed out cap in the past 2 years. He's supposed to make $46 million salary. He's going to make $45 million bonus pushed out, only $1 million salary. So in other words, they've loaded $90 million already into the future years. If they cut him or release him or trade him, of course, they have $92 million of cash left. Forget about cap. So in most situations, like Russell Wilson, you're dealing with cap, not cash. Here you'd be dealing with both, unless they get out from the guarantee somehow, some way. All this is to say, Browns fans, I don't think he's going anywhere. And listen, I know Andrew Berry, general manager of the Browns. I think the world of him. I knew him in Philadelphia. He's bright. He's Ivy League educated. He's a guy that was going to work for investment banking and took a turn to football. I don't think there's any thought from him that we need to get out of this. He is a fan of Deshaun, has been from day one. So where this is coming from, guys, I just don't know. It's not the Browns.
Andrew Brandt's joining us, the executive director, Morehead Center at Villanova, of course, former vice president with the Packers. Got his Sunday 7 newsletter, which we absolutely love. You know, Andrew, you're talking about how they could possibly get out of this contract if they wanted to. If you're saying the general manager loves him, then, you know, maybe he's not going anywhere. But, like, the personal conduct side of this, right, and the new bylaws that got put in place by the NFL where right. if it's a second issue of sexual assault or violence in that way, then banishment is on the table. Like, I find that if any of these allegations end up being true, why couldn't they get out of this through conduct detrimental or something like that? It feels like, if the allegations are true, it feels like it would fall in that category.
I suppose. I mean, again, this would be another act where he was already suspended for the 11 games. This is something different. But again, I mean, we don't need to get graphic, but he's getting on the table, wanting massage on his buttocks.
Yeah.
That's what I read for a whole year. So I'm guessing, you know, first he's going to deny. He may settle. This may take a year or more to wind its way through the courts. I just feel like there's kind of a rush to bury Watson with his bad game and continued bad play. And we got to look at this a little closer. This is nowhere near resolution, if that.
Real quick, Andrew, Jordan Love has sprained MCL, and it seems like he has maybe a chance to play this week. When you're looking at a quarterback who just signed this big contract, who is making the decision? Is it just the head coach, or does a front office get involved when you're talking about possible long-term ramifications with a star player and an injury?
Well, I know the parties here well. Dr. Pat McKenzie is a close friend, and he to me, I know people say this, but he really is very conservative. So, obviously, Aaron knows this well. We held Aaron out longer than he wanted, held Brett out longer than he wanted, all these things. So I was shocked, Andrew, to read Matt LaFleur saying, hey, he could even play this week. So I guess my answer is trust the doctor. And you really look at medical, like what's going on? Will our doctor allow him to play? I'd be very surprised if he's cleared to play this week, but you never know. It seems like maybe this injury is not as bad as feared, and we'll see.
Andrew, sorry, last one for me, just a little one. Did you think the NFL in Brazil was a success? Do you think the NFL is looking at it that way? Do you think they'll go back?
Well, I'm a Packers fan. I didn't like the field.
Yeah.
I didn't like the result, but you saw the crowd sold out. I was involved with NFL Europe way back. It's just trying to get a foothold into new markets. From their vantage point, yes. Do I think they'd sell out more than a game or two in any of these markets except London? No, I think these are one-offs. They're diversions. They're always going to be sold out. But I don't like the idea at all of an international team or national conference. I just think we'll have these continued one-offs around the globe where it's a diversion, and people come and say, hey, this is really cool. Let's go see the NFL.
I don't like that you're living in Philly and you're not an Eagles fan yet. What can we do to win you over, Andrew?
Well, Eagles are number two. You know, I married into a big Philly sports fan. So,
tread lightly.
I love the Sixers, so I'm still there.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's you don't want to say anything or else you'll be sitting in the doghouse for Thanksgiving or something. Andrew Brandt, always appreciate it. Thank you so much for educating us. Of course, Executive Director Morehead Center at Villanova, Sunday 7 newsletter, and former VP of the Packers, former player agent. He's done it all. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate that.